It's just after 2. Time for Murph and Andy on 1460 KXNO, Des Moines Sports Station.
Another beautiful day for the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO on a Tuesday. Sports and more until 4. It's Keith Murphy, Andy Fales, and Andrew Downs. The NBA season starts tonight, right?
Yeah, it does.
Wow, that's a long 7 regular season.
Yeah, it'll be over halfway through June.
It's like getting excited about dinner at 4 in the morning. You know, I mean, you have like a whole bunch of meals to eat between now and then.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't even think about it, right? You can't even imagine what it's going to be like to be hungry for the NBA at this point.
Good start. Cavs hosting the Celtics.
Yeah.
But
there's
going to
be great games. There'll be all kinds of storylines along the way. But, you know, the NBA playoffs is such an animal of its own.
It really is.
It's hard to see those at this point.
LeBron, a game time decision versus the Celtics tonight.
He apparently participated in shoot around this morning, but will be a game time decision.
He likes a little drama.
He does.
Yeah, I'll bet he plays. I'll bet he plays. So that'd be Kyrie and LeBron going back at it.
Yesterday, J.R. Smith said, "Oh, he's going to go. He's going to go. Trust me on that. I don't care what he's got to do. He's going to play." That's a quote from J.R. Smith. So.
He's going to try to block some Kyrie Irving shots too. That's an interesting way to start it. But serious question, not being flippant here. Do you really feel like, other than entertainment, there's a reason for the regular season? Or do you, in your mind right now, do you already feel like you know that it's Cavs-Warriors again?
Yeah, because the regular season already feels like too much, or at least too long, maybe even totally unnecessary. But over the past few years, when we've basically been able to pick the best two teams at the beginning of the year and been successful at it, then it's really seemed more meaningless.
This is so much of an outlier, though, in the history of basketball. First of all, the Cavs and Warriors playing 3 times in a row in the finals, that's never happened before, even when all those great Lakers and Celtics teams were facing off seemingly year after year. They never played 3 years in a row. So, yes, right now, like sitting here today, it feels like the regular season is more of an overthought, something you don't need to worry about, than ever before. Although I will say, going into this year, I'm not certain the Cavs are the best team in the East. I do think the Warriors are the best team in the West and the best team in the NBA, but I'm not certain the Cavs are the best team in the East. They may get there. I think I'd want them to get there to see LeBron again, but I think the Celtics are right there. And I'm interested to see a handful of teams. There's a lot of new look teams in the NBA this year.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's good. You like the Rockets seemingly got better. The Thunder certainly got better. The Timberwolves,
yeah, it should be fun.
Got better. The Celtics are better, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. I mean, they get the better immediate benefit of that trade and some signings. And it could be interesting. The Dwayne Wade to Cleveland is also interesting, because the scuttlebutt behind the scenes in Chicago was that Wade's teammates could not wait for him to get out of there. That he's a diva, he's a distraction, he's all about me. You know, that now you got he and LeBron doing that buddy-buddy act that you suspect some of his teammates are probably rolling their eyes at, and they're not ready for that. They're not really wanting a past-his-prime Dwayne Wade coming in and adding one more element to, are we all here at LeBron's disposal? So maybe that ends up being enough to push the Celtics in.
It adds to the interest of the whole thing, though. I mean, having these big names change teams and combine with other big names, you don't know if it's going to work or not, but that makes for a really interesting start to the season, because you haven't seen these combinations before, right? I mean, you want to see what the Thunder looks like. You want to see what the Rockets look like with Chris Paul. I mean, you wouldn't have dreamt that that would be some sort of a fantasy combination, but you still want to see it, at least right now, before it becomes routine. But, the NBA has a lot of star power right now, and these stars are no longer kind of stuck off on these, little isolated teams all by themselves. They, more than ever, it seems like they've been moving around and kind of combining forces, and I think it's been more interesting for fans. In those cities, it certainly is.
It hasn't. It's even got like Michael Jordan wound up. He said, you know, these super teams are bad for the NBA. He was on a pretty good team himself there for a couple of years, but it wasn't formed in quite the same way as some of these teams. But we also have teams that many of you find unlikable. So we have a quickie poll on that at KXNO.com and on the Murph and Andy Show platforms.
Yeah, which is the most, of these four, which is the most dislikable team in the NBA? Is it the Warriors, the Cavaliers, the Lakers, or the Celtics?
So the Lakers is just on history and reputation and ball.
Yeah.
And team ball.
And
not
Lonzo
even
ball. Right.
Not
even
dad.
Lonzo, yeah. The family ball.
The dad ball.
Yeah, probably means which of these teams is the best. Right? Because that's what makes them dislikable more than anything is when they're good. If they're no good, it's really hard to dislike them.
Yeah, because my knee-jerk reaction...
Put them out of mind.
Right, it's the Warriors, but then if you were to ask me, why don't you like the Warriors, or who on the Warriors don't you like? I mean, Draymond Green I don't love, but really other than that, I don't hate any
of
those
stars
guys.
Are likable.
KD has become less likable to me over the last few years, more because of his personality than anything.
He so desperately needs to be liked and loved. You know, that ghost account he set up to defend, you just think, this isn't possible. That's not... How did that happen? But... It really happened, it seems. But I think of Steph Curry as a guy that's not unlikable, but yet there are people who really dislike him, the way he reacts to a big play with the shoulders and the, you know, the smile. Chris Hassel, our friend, is driven crazy by Steph and his mouthpiece. I mean, he can't take the mouthpiece.
He slapped down the president real hard, too. That's going to win him a bunch of new enemies, if those people cared about the NBA to begin with.
Yeah. Same with Popovich.
Yes, Spurs, absolutely.
For sure. Very outspoken.
Pushes back very hard.
Steve Kerr, who is a really likable guy, but has also been outspoken. So, yes, and politics figure into all this, too, I'm sure, with some.
LeBron is because that's because he's so good.
Yeah.
He has redeemed himself for the decision.
Although I feel
it's
like people,
so in the past.
People now are like waiting for the second decision. Like everybody assumes he's leaving the Cavs.
Yeah.
And I feel like some people already kind of preemptively hate him for what he's about to do. Like if he goes to the Lakers, I will hate him. And so I might as well just start hating him now.
It does seem that
or they
him no choice.
Or they dislike him because they're Michael Jordan fans.
Yeah, there's a lot
and
of
they
that
just
too.
Dislike yeah. the comparison.
Yeah, there's some of that, too. Yeah, so we got all these storylines going. I really don't... Boy, I don't dislike any of these teams. Yeah,
but
I'm not... I don't really hate any of these teams.
In the NBA, I mean, you can't underestimate just kind of the depth of a rivalry like between the Celtics and the Lakers. I don't know that ever really totally goes away. It goes kind of dormant for a while. But then when the teams start getting good again, it'll flare back up, which is weird. I mean, they're just on opposite coasts, and that was a couple of periods of time in the 80s and early 70s and 60s. I mean, that's so long ago, you know, when those rivalries were really beating.
Yeah, thriving. And Kyrie's kind of a flake. He's a flat earth guy,
supposedly. Yeah, he's kind of an unlikable guy, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's, you know, he left without
dislikable.
Telling LeBron, said he, you know, didn't need to. I'm sure some people will find something hateable about that. And then he, you know, kind of took a dump on the city of Cleveland after he got there and said, it's good to finally be in a real sports town like Boston. Cleveland's a real sports town. There hadn't been a lot to cheer for much of Cleveland's sports history, but it's a real sports town. So you can vote on that. It is the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. The Yankees make it a series in the ALCS, and Aaron Judge breaks out of his slump.
Here's a fly ball into right. Back on the track. Judge has got it for the out. And that big 6 foot, 7 inch body slammed into the wall and right, and he was able to hang on.
Swung on, it is high, it is far, it is gone! A three-run home run, a Judgian blast. All rise, here comes the Judge. The Yankees have blown it open. They have an 8-0 lead.
The Yankees win it 8 zip over the Astros. Astros still lead 2-1. That audio by Fox Sports and the Yankees radio network. Boy, that does show you how quickly you can feel like a series is back on. I mean, the Cubs desperately need this.
But one game.
One game like that, too. 8 zip and Judge breaking out of his slump and Frazier hitting home runs on what looked like a check swing where he wasn't even swinging fully
that
through
was
the
so
baseball.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah, it's not even crazy. Looking at the ball.
Yeah, I know. Come on.
Did they get all of their runs on home runs? Aaron Judge had one hit. It was a home run, and we're all saying he broke out of his slump.
right. I mean, he's all or nothing.
That's how quickly everything can turn around, though. I mean, especially when you have those three home games. I mean, you can win one game, and then suddenly it's like, what were we so worried about?
Yeah, now Houston is like, man, we got to win one of these two in New York before we go home.
Yeah.
You lose all three of these, you go home the underdog.
2-3-2 in the LCSs here. The Cubs must win tonight. Hendricks against Darvish. I believe that's right.
Yep, that's right.
Game doesn't start until after 8 Iowa time. That's brutal. Same deal tomorrow night. Like 8:08 starts in Iowa on a weeknight. These games will end near midnight Central Time, probably near 1 o'clock Eastern Time. That's because the networks in Major League Baseball put the combo. Michael Admire and I were having this debate last week. Does the combo of the Dodgers-Cubs collective brands, does that outweigh your number one draw, the Yankees, with a team that doesn't really have a following, the Astros, and the networks decide it does? Dodgers-Cubs gets the primetime night spot. They put the Astros-Yankees in the late afternoon slot these next couple days.
That makes sense. I mean, that seems really late for us, certainly really late for the East Coast, but that's 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it's good
in Los
good
Angeles.
For Dodgers fans,
they can't start
sure.
at 4.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In the middle of the commute home, everybody there has a 2-hour commute.
They're leaving now. They're probably just on their way home now. Major League Baseball, reported by NBC Sports and others, considering expanding to Montreal. Seems like they've had a team in Montreal. And Portland.
That was the Washington Senators. They've never been in Montreal.
Never been in Montreal the whole time.
No,
huh?
No. They've always been in Washington.
I remember that Expos
that is the
hat.
Funny. I have been to that stadium. I went to a game, was in the press box of that stadium. Nowhere is there any Expo stuff.
Oh, at the Washington Nationals Park?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I went there when we were out covering the Boy Scouts, and we had that crazy situation where one of the relief pitchers said something about Miss Iowa.
Just made an easy joke about Iowa stereotypes.
It was easy. Yeah, something like that. And we just came up and covered that game and interviewed them. But, that ballpark, because from time to time you do hear them taking credit for things that the Expos did. Not that they ever won any titles, but...
The great Tim Raines of the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, right, yeah. You retire Tim Raines' number, Gary Carter's number, or somebody, but... nowhere in that. I didn't see any Montreal Expo stuff. So come on, those are different.
Yeah,
are different.
If they
franchise.
Get an expansion team, do they get the history of the Montreal Expos with them? Like, did the Cleveland Browns have the Browns history, or is that history with the Ravens and the Browns are like a 10-year-old team?
That's a good question, and I don't know which one.
They did take that history. They did. And, I remember when the Rams came to St. Louis, and this is totally different because they kept the same name, same uniforms, and everything. But when they came to St. Louis, they retired Jackie Slater's jersey, the Hall of Fame tackle, and they had this big ceremony for him there at the Edward Jones Dome. And everybody's like, I mean, people were smart enough to know Jackie Slater, but he had ever played there. He didn't mean anything to the city of St. Louis. City of St. Louis didn't mean anything to him. So it's like you need to make kind of a pronounced cut, I think.
You do, and it's more difficult with the Browns, because unlike the Rams and many other franchises, the Ravens did go to Baltimore, where the Colts used to be there, so that gets confusing. But now they're there as the former Browns, but then the NFL awards Cleveland the Browns
expansion
again.
Team. Yeah, an expansion team.
So that feels like that should be the Browns' history there with the Browns in Cleveland.
Yeah, I wonder how that goes down exactly. Because I mean, I know for a fact when the Modells moved, when Art Modell moved the Browns to Baltimore, I mean, he took everything, but I think maybe they got to keep license over that name or something? The city did. I think there's some odd technicality about that.
Doug is with us at 284-5966, 284-KXNO. Doug, your thought on expansion, realignment, teams changing names?
Well, I was just wondering along the same lines, when the Big Ten does famous Big Ten players like Todd Blackledge, because Penn State's in the Big Ten now, but obviously they weren't when Blackledge was playing for them, or they do the same thing with Nebraska.
Johnny Rogers, the great Big Ten player.
Big Ten greats. Well, he wasn't even close to the Big Ten.
Yeah, Big Ten legend Tommy Frazier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is odd.
Yeah, Andy, it's only 2 hours difference to L.A., so it'd be 6 o'clock first pitch in L.A., not 5:08.
Hey, I was thinking East Coast there. Got crossed up. Sorry.
Yep. Okay. All right. Thank you, Doug.
Talking East Coast.
Yeah, 6 is perfect for L.A. Appreciate that. It is the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Now, we're going to call for a three-point play at 284-5966. AD, I'm surprised to see this on the schedule today because you were so upset by the music yesterday. Are you okay?
I'm okay. I'm giving everybody another chance to get back in my good graces.
That's as disgusted as I've seen you look without Sipker here.
I mean, that's a top 10 as far as like famous radio play MTV hip hop song of all time. You don't know It Was a Good Day by Ice Cube? Come on, man.
All right, 284-5966, 284-KXNO. The 3-point play is brought to you by Cryo Vitality in Clive and Ankeny. Increased performance and faster workout recovery times are benefits of whole body cryotherapy. $30 gift card to the winner that covers your first session with no obligation. You can try it out and see what you think. We'll get it started here with Mike. Mike, if you can name this sports voice, you're off and running. The Cryo Vitality and Clive or Ankeny gift card goes to the person who completes the 3-point play, so there could be an opportunity for a steal. Mike, name this sports voice.
It's baseball. You know, I got to enjoy the good times and the bad times. And like I said, I get the chance to play in the ALCS with the New York Yankees. It's a dream come true.
Mike, hit the eject button. Yeah, you could say, I don't know. I mean, talk to us.
Yeah, right.
That feels a little rude.
It's not cool.
Am I wrong, Andy? Could he just, just hit the eject button? I'd like to talk to Mike. Even if he's just saying, you know,
maybe he doesn't want to waste our time.
All right. I appreciate that, too, I guess.
We wasted it anyway. We talked about him all that time.
Yeah. Can't get those 20 seconds back.
Mike Judge.
That was not Mike Judge. Did you say Mike Judge?
Yeah.
No, that is wrong, but thank you. Try again. Michael, do you know that sports voice?
Was that Aaron Judge?
It is Aaron Judge. Mike Judge is that Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah, that is. Beavis and Butthead in the Office Space. Yeah,
yeah, there you go. Name this band.
Don't wanna be a monkey wrench. One more indecent accident.
Michael, who is that?
Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters, you are one answer away from the gift card. Name this movie.
Ron, I've got to fire you.
Well, I've got to fire you. Bing, bong, bong.
You're fired, Ed.
Do you even know what you just said? Oh, great Odin's Raven.
Michael, can you name that movie?
Can I just get the last bit of the clip one more time?
Do you even know what you just said? Oh, great Odin's Raven.
Step Brothers?
That is not Step Brothers. Can you guys, right now, don't you picture people yelling in their cars right now, like, ah!
Yes.
Oh, my God. But it's just, it's what you've seen, what you've watched. You never know what somebody else's wheelhouse is. Ross, I'll bet you're going to come in here and steal the Cryo Vitality.
Can I hear it one more time, please?
Ron, I've got to fire you. Well, I've got to fire you. Bing, bong, bong.
You're fired, Ed.
Do you even know what you just said? Oh! Great Odin's Raven.
Ross?
I wish I knew. I have no idea.
Okay, thank you. Andy, is this among the bigger surprises on the 3-point play?
I think it's a pretty easy one. I don't know if it's the biggest, but...
One of it. It's not, and it's I appreciate this, it's not one of the more common lines.
Right, yeah.
Which
I
appreciate.
You just want to go with one of the real easy ones.
Yeah, this is a nice prize. You don't want
easier,
to... No, I think you did the right thing. Anthony, for the steal and the win, what movie was that?
Anchorman.
Word to your mother.
Congratulations, Anthony. There you go.
There's your winner.
There's your winner.
There we have it.
All right, so
like that.
Sorry, one more question about this, the cryo vitality.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know all about it. I've done it.
Yeah. Okay. So when you said your core body temperature like goes way, way, way down, right? That's part of the healing.
Your body temperature goes down. Yes.
Okay. Body temperature goes way down,
and it makes your core bring the blood back into the middle to keep it away from the freezing cold temperatures on the outside, as though you were, you know, outside in the Arctic.
Right. I know sports teams are doing this all the time. They have this. So, I mean, it's kind of like a modern update of the cold tub. We've seen guys get in the, you know, the ice tubs for
it's faster.
Decades.
It's less unpleasant. LeBron James does it all the time.
Okay. But what, how much time are we talking about?
It's like 2 minutes. That's the crazy thing is it's super fast. And the other thing, I was watching Hassel Chiropractic and Cryo Vitality have Facebook pages, and on the Facebook page you can see a video of Vince, my friend Vince Hassel, who owns it, and Mark Wahlberg when he was here in Des Moines. He stopped out there to use his Cryo Vitality stuff, cryotherapy, and he was talking about one thing that I kind of forgot about, and this is so true. When you do that, you have the best night sleep. Here's what it feels like. It feels like going skiing for a few hours where you're tired and you get cold, and then all of a sudden you come in and you get by the fire and you warm back up again. This is after you get out of this machine and all of your extremities get the function back to them and you get kind of that warm, tingly feeling. And then you can go take a nap and you can sleep like a baby.
Sleep
afterward.
Yeah,
just, I know, just amazing. It
I
is
know
a
that
really
exact feeling.
It is an amazing. It's an amazing treatment. People should try it.
How unpleasant does the 2 minutes get?
No, it's funny. I mean, it's kind of fun because it's, you know, it's not some cold piece of metal being pressed up against you, so it's uncomfortable. It is like a liquid nitrogen steam all around you. So I mean, your head is clear of it all. It's above it. But it goes all around your body and makes you, it makes you very, very cold, but it is so short that you don't ever get uncomfortable.
Nationally,
it's very good at reducing swelling. If you have any kind of sports injury, it's really good, fast treatment for that.
Have you seen any stories, like say in TMZ or anywhere, where somebody has tried to take this complete change in body chemistry and used it for arousing purposes?
I don't think I thought you were going to say for a second, would you bring like a, if you really needed to chill a six pack of beer, could you bring it in there with you?
That's better.
Really get
that's
it cool
better.
Yeah,
let's
yeah
go with that.
You could probably do that. I imagine there's some shrinkage there though, if that's what you're talking about.
Next up on the Murph and Andy Show, Fran McCaffrey brings it strong.
Go show it. It's your birthday.
Rockstar Satellite presents Guess Who's Birthday, and let's hope we do better than some of the Anchorman non-guesses on the three-point play.
Murph, guess whose birthday?
Your body is a wonderland. Your body is a wonderland.
It's John Mayer singing about Jessica Simpson, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Let's see. It's... The gal from Party of Five, what's her name? Isn't that her? Jennifer Love Hewitt? Wasn't her body the Wonderland?
Sure.
I don't know.
I think both those bodies are Wonderland.
Yeah, pretty good bodies. Yeah, I think either one.
I think we're pretty
interchangeable.
Good either way, then. Good for you, John Mayer. John Mayer is 39.
He is 40, so you get the point. Well done. Andy, guess whose birthday?
My name is I'm most famously known as being the bass player in the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's Flea.
It is.
I doubt his birth certificate says Flea.
Yeah, I don't know his real name. Flea is...
Michael Balzeri.
Michael Balzeri.
I don't think I've ever even heard
that. I don't have
it
either.
Balzeri? And he felt like he needed to change his last name.
If you have the name Balzeri, you keep it.
Yeah, especially if you play a big ballsy bass like he does. Flea is 54.
He's 55, so you get the point. We're tied up going to the final round. Murph, guess whose birthday?
The Washington Nationals star was just named Major League Baseball's 2015 National League MVP, making him the youngest unanimous MVP of all time.
That's Bryce Harper.
It is.
Gosh, he's going to
say Bryce Miller.
Bryce Miller, so therefore he's a 58.
I was going to say.
Bryce Harper, God, he came in early. Bryce Harper is 26.
He's 25, so you do get the point. Doors open a crack here, Andy. Guess whose birthday?
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived by Phil Jackson and the New York Knicks.
That's a Stephen A. Smith.
It is.
I really don't know how old Stephen A. Smith is. I don't think I've ever seen his name or his birth date or age listed.
He's a guy with a 15-year window, isn't he?
Yeah. He could be 40,
anywhere from 35 to 50.
Yeah, he could be 45. He could be 55. I guess. I'm going to say he's 48.
He is 50.
Oh,
Murphy wins.
Wow, I had him
almost said 49.
Damn. I had him on the outside edge there. That that wasn't right. By the way, AD, what is going? The entire feed this week continues to be photos of Anthony Rizzo fans.
Yeah, we still got that Anthony Rizzo autographed jersey from Body Armor. They're giving it away to a big Rizzo fan. And also 10 people will win a case of Body Armor, which we just got in-house yesterday. So we'll be giving out 10 cases of Body Armor, and then one grand prize winner will win the Anthony Rizzo autographed jersey. And you might be able to wear it while the Cubs are still alive if they pick it up a little bit.
Win it quickly, it would seem. Boy, he's got a lot of fans.
He does.
And many of them are connections, kids and cancer. So many of these photos have been very moving.
Yeah,
a few of them have made me emotional.
Tug at your heartstrings a little bit. It was something I didn't really expect. We decided, hey, yeah, we'll put it out on Twitter and Facebook and online and shoot us a picture of how you support Anthony Rizzo. And yeah, right away. And because Rizzo is a cancer survivor and he does a lot with childhood cancer in the Chicago area and really all over the country. And so he has earned a lot of fans that way. And a lot of people, you know, who are dealing with that are fans. And so, it's going to be a tough decision for whoever has to make that decision of who gets that Rizzo autographed jersey.
Good one today. That's not sad at all. It's funny. It comes from Deb Jansen. She sends one of, guessing this would be her son. And he is in a Rizzo jersey from when he was about 3 or 4 years old, but he's putting it on as a teenager.
Right.
And he looks like the Hulk in it. He's just busting right out of it. So
it's all that Body Armor, baby.
Yeah, the Body Armor. So, okay, well, that's good. That's fun. Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. The college basketball corruption and bribery scandal that was pulled into the light by the FBI and all the power of the FBI has led to media day moments like this one at Kentucky.
Anyone here have a question about my team? Please.
John, one more question about the FBI.
Anybody have a
question? No, wait a minute. This is a media day, not coach day. I am entitled to ask a question. Not answer,
ask
fine.
That was John Calipari at Kentucky. This was not the case. That kind of vibe was not the case at all at the University of Iowa yesterday. Not only did head coach Fran McCaffrey talk about it for at least 10 minutes, he said something that got a lot of attention even outside of Iowa.
What does college basketball have to do, or is there anything it can do to police itself better?
What you can do is, when you know something's going on, turn that team in. Who does that? Not a lot of people do that. I do it. So I've turned programs in, and I'll continue to do that when I know that there's stuff going on. But a lot of times you don't know what's going on. You know, can you police yourselves? Only if you know something's going on. But even then, it's hard for the NCAA to do something.
I do like these comments from Fran McCaffrey. Not everybody does. Some people put this in the code of coaching code. You just, even if you have turned somebody in, you don't speak of it. But mostly there's that fraternity, Andy, you know well. It's like, you know, coaches don't call each other out. They don't turn each other in. They don't say anything negative about each other. But this kind of activity hurts your game. So if Fran McCaffrey sees somebody cheating or bribing or any of that, and he turns them in, I don't have a problem with that. I don't see this as snitching.
Yeah, it is funny. I mean, when you have a press conference where the guy has a guilt-free conscience, he has no problem talking about this kind of thing, right? Because it doesn't involve him.
Yeah.
Nobody's accusing him of anything.
He couldn't wait to talk about
it. His conscience is clean, right? I mean, he didn't go to bed with any whore and didn't wake up with any whore, right? That's what happened. So what I do think, though, is the problem is if you blow the whistle on somebody, you better hope they get busted. Because if they don't get busted and nothing happens, then all you did was burn that bridge, that future bridge with them.
You think they know he's turned them in?
I think there's a good chance. I mean, don't you think? I mean, I just don't know that there can be some witness protection plan or something in this close-knit fraternity where everybody knows everybody, they worked for everybody, they played for everybody. I mean, it's like a spider web. Everybody's connected remotely.
You would hope that there's some kind of anonymity if you catch somebody in wrongdoing, but you're right. It very well could leak out. McCaffrey also did kind of stand up for the NCAA in that he said the NCAA wants this to go away, knows it needs to go away, but they simply don't have the power to do anything about it. The reason it at least has a chance of going away in some capacity now is because the FBI is not playing. They're bringing in wiretaps and the threat of prison sentences and felony charges. You get that involved, that's a little more than breaking an NCAA violation. That's like you're breaking the law.
Yeah, you're bringing down the law on your school. That's a stain that doesn't come out. But this whole thing has kind of added an interesting wrinkle to the beginning of the basketball season, and it's knocked out one major coach, a guy seems like he's been a part of basketball since before I started watching it.
And Louisville officially fired Pitino yesterday. Yep. I mean, they all but did fire him when this first came out, but made it official after clearing whatever legal hurdles and school policy they had to do to say, okay, now it's official, you're fired.
Don't you wonder what finally will be the straw that breaks the camel's back? What finally will be the thing that makes college basketball make a major change in the way either it makes them start paying athletes or makes room for high school kids to go straight to the G League? I mean, at some point, I feel like we're going to have a major change like that.
If dominoes right keep falling, this could be it.
Well, I mean, right now it just seems like we're kidding ourselves. And we're running this charade, these one-and-done players, running this charade trying to pretend like this is college basketball, like these are student-athletes, like these kids really want to be there. We just had a documentary where Ben Simmons was basically the whole time just openly wondering why in the world he had to be here at LSU when he wasn't going to go to class, didn't have any interest in being in college, just doing that to, you know, fulfill his little obligation and then get to the NBA. I mean, at what point is this going to stop? Because this is a charade.
It's also interesting, as you say, that Ben Simmons and certainly the players for 18 years at North Carolina openly mocking the chance at an education, whether it be not going to classes or just saying, I don't even understand why I should go to class. And that is their form of payment. So one of the defenses of this system is, well, they have a chance at an education, which is invaluable. But in many cases, the players who have that chance, and that is their payment, don't even want that. Mm-hmm. So it's failing on a couple of different levels. But then it's interesting to watch this, follow this out after this scandal. Adam Silver sees this as the commissioner of the NBA, he sees this as, well, this is another sign the NBA minimum, it needs to be at least 2 years before you're eligible for the NBA. Whereas I see it the opposite. This means you should be able to turn 18 and go pro and take your chances if you have no interest in education, or just go join the G League if you're not good enough to get into the NBA. 2 years, to me, 2 years doesn't solve this. The NCAA would like that because it will have more marquee stars in the sport for an extra year.
You have all of these interests. Yeah, I mean, you have the NBA's interest. You have college basketball's interest because it takes a major dive if all of these guys, the best players skip college basketball altogether. But then you also have this moral obligation, and we all look past this immediately. This is like everybody's last consideration. And that says, I mean, these kids are 17, 18 years old. are they really ready to go into the NBA, go into professional basketball?
In most cases, no.
They're absolutely not. I mean, they're going to go in. I don't know that they're necessarily going to learn anything from college basketball, but they are going to be preyed on by agents and hangers-on. They're going to be exploited by the teams that pick them, and most of them are going to be cast aside really quickly, and they're going to be sunk. Whereas if they do go to college, they at least have another chance at doing something else with their lives, or at least they make a connection with that school. Maybe they could go back there in some capacity, or maybe they run into the right tutor or guidance counselor or whatever. I mean, at least they have a little bit more of a chance. But, there are just so many different interests that are looking out for themselves, wanting a slice of this pie. I wish we could fast forward 20 years and see how this ultimately went down.
Hunka Hawk joins us at 284-5966. Hello, Hunka Hawk.
How's it going, boys?
What's on your mind, sir?
Well, you were saying something about Fran McCaffrey stating that if he saw some violations occurring, he turned them into the NCAA. And it's funny that you brought up John Calipari at the same time, because I watched Iowa basketball recruiting, and they were in on this kid named Tyler Ulis out of Chicago. He was a 5'9 point guard. And they were offering him, I believe, right around his sophomore year, and they worked him like a dog for 2 years. And then at the end of his senior year, he hadn't decided, and it was Iowa was the strong favorite, and Michigan State was in second, and a couple other schools. And then all of a sudden, here comes Kentucky in, and then like the next day, he signed with Kentucky.
That is a pro now, isn't he? He's a good player, really good player.
That is interesting. Thank you. That is interesting to contemplate. Thank you, Hunka Hawk. Appreciate it. Always nice to hear from you.
The Suns.
Sean on the Murph and Andy Show. Hi, Sean.
Hey. I just wanted to chime in with Andy's comment about, you know, what's it going to take to break the camel's back. And the mentioning of the one and done. I believe that comes about because of an NBA rule requiring kids to be 1 year out of high school. So the NBA could help out with the NCAA issue by getting rid of that 1 year removed from high school and just allowing high schoolers to go straight to the pros.
They could, yes.
I don't think they want to.
Yeah,
they like to have another year to look at these guys.
Right, I completely get it from a developmental standpoint.
It's like it's a minor leagues for them without having to pay them.
To pay it.
But what can the NCAA do in this situation is,
yeah, the NBA, yeah, right. I mean, the NCAA is the one that really doesn't have much power here.
Right. And
they can't force these kids to go to college.
But and
they're like
a
receptacle
for
the kids right now because of the NBA. The NBA is saying they have to be there be out of high school for a year. It's like it's a gift to the NCAA.
And the NCAA likes it because you get some of these big stars, like, say,
look at what Ben Simmons did for LSU for a year.
Or 15 years ago, LeBron James, back when there wasn't this rule, he would have gone to Ohio State for a year. Think about what that year in the Big Ten would have been like for Iowa and everybody else in the Big Ten if LeBron James did the Big Ten basketball tour.
Yep.
What that would have been like.
Draw.
Or if they do, as Adam Silver has suggested, make it 2 years now, then these, you know, one and done players make even more impact, which drives up more interest in the NCAA, higher fees, and you can always follow the money on any of this, as you know. Iowa State Basketball Media Day is today. We'll check in on that in hour number two. Mike Leach says he has no plan to follow Bill Moose, the athletic director, to Nebraska. Now, Andy, Mike Leach saying he has no plan to follow the AD to Nebraska. What does that reveal to you?
A few things. First of all, that he's smart, and he knows that just by saying that means he'll probably get a raise, or at least he's in the talk for a raise now.
Okay.
Right? I mean, if Washington State wants to keep him, oh, man, we don't want to lose everything to Nebraska here. We'll lose both our AD and our head football coach. We better give him a raise, make sure that he feels taken care of and loved. All he has to do is, again, all he's doing is the right thing to do, right? Look, I'm focused on this team.
I have no plan.
No plan to go to Nebraska.
And that's true. Because, first of all, Nebraska has a head coach right now. So there's no way Mike Leach could have a plan to go. So he's really, he smartly said something.
Well, yeah, man, I'm sure he's got an idea in his head about what he might do. But as far as actually talking to somebody where they would have, you know, broken a contract, he probably hasn't.
Meantime, this is why Nebraska needs Mike Leach. Here's just, you can pick any press conference, any day of the year that he talks into a microphone, and it's usually interesting. Here's Leach at this week's press conference, just with some thoughts on naming his kids.
If you had a vote, what would you name it and why?
I'd name it Sharon. Well, because I'd name all my kids Sharon. My wife's name is Sharon. And I'd name everything Sharon. My life's complicated enough, and I have to make enough decisions every day, and I have to remember enough things every day. If I had it to do over again, I got four kids. They'd all be named Sharon. And the other thing is every grandkid, male or female, would be named Sharon. And the boat would damn sure be named Sharon. It'd be, hey, Sharon, where's Sharon? Get Sharon. How's Sharon? You know, so it'd be perfect.
You gotta even try for a middle name?
No, maybe? No, there are no middle names. There's no last name. You just Sharon. That's all you are, Sharon. Like, you know, my son gets married and there's a sister-in-law, Sharon. Okay, and what's her last name? What do I care, you know?
This is the George Foreman plan.
Right, you're always right. Just remember one name, your name, and that's it.
Do you know who did this? And it was brilliant. Johnny Orr. He told me that once. I'm sure he told others. He called everybody coach.
Right. So he's never wrong.
He didn't have to remember their names. Because you know how many people.
He didn't like have kids and name them coach. He just used it as a term of endearment.
Right. He did. He did. But you know how people come up and he'd be like, Andy, I'm not sure if you remember me, but 22 years ago, I bumped into you at the state fair and we were both eating corn dogs.
The worst one is when they say, hey, you remember me? And you're like,
refresh my memory.
I'm sorry. You look familiar to me. Well, I couldn't look familiar to you. We never met before. They pull something like that.
Yeah, you just said
to try to dupe you into that. Or no, come on, you don't remember who I am. You and I were talking about the Cardinals of like 10 years ago. We were at a bar
in a bathroom. You're peeing, you didn't make eye contact.
Geez, I have no idea. Yeah, sorry.
Throwdowns coming up next on the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO.
It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
Let's throw it down, Andy. Kyrie Irving returns to Cleveland tonight as the leader of the Celtics. Now, Kyrie was Rookie of the Year, a four-time All-Star, and hit the game-winning shot in Game 7 of the 2016 Finals. Should Cavs fans boo Kyrie when he returns tonight?
Should they boo him? No. They should take the high road, be cool about it, and just try to look the other way on it and be classy about it. But fans aren't usually like that. First of all, they kind of like to have a villain. They like to have somebody to... I mean, because booing is part of going to a sporting event, right? Yeah, you cheer and you boo, and it's one of your rights as a fan. So they won't. They'll boo him. Some will, at least, and try to make him a villain. And then the ball's in his court. He decides what he wants to do. Does he want to take the high road? He's kind of already started this. Somebody could finish it, but they probably won't.
Yeah, I don't see a right or wrong. I think this is a personal choice. I definitely don't think that you should boo. I would not boo. I would show appreciation for what he accomplished. And if you think it through to a more complex level, maybe even some understanding for why he wanted to go somewhere else. I don't expect many fans to think that way. They probably will just react with the scorned reaction of just booing. But I don't think he should be booed. I think it's always better to appreciate what somebody did.
Murph, which revamped NBA team is most intriguing to you as we start the season? The Timberwolves, who added Jimmy Butler to a young, talented team. The Celtics added Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. The Rockets, Chris Paul goes with James Harden. Or the Thunder, who added Melo and Paul George to join Russell Westbrook.
I think the most fun to watch will be the Celtics with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. So I'm cheating a little bit here because that's the team I would find most interesting to watch. But I'm most intrigued, at least on the outside looking in, to see how this works with the Thunder. Because Russell Westbrook has been fantastic, but he's also been... I know he has the high assist totals, but basically he has been the entire offense. And the players have stood around and watched him. And now you got two players who are also used to having the ball in their hands in Melo and Paul George. So that is the most intriguing to me as far as how is that going to work.
I think that's a good answer. You see that as being a potential train wreck, whereas the Celtics, I mean, they filled their needs, really. I mean, they were the smartest in the offseason. They seem to have a plan and executed it. And it seems like these players will make them into a better unit, whereas these other players just kind of add more weapons. Whether or not they actually fit in with the system, we have no idea at this point. But yeah, I mean, I think I'll say the Celtics are more interesting because it seems like this has the best chance of working.
All right, Andy, you can have one basketball skill to show off in gyms and pickup games for the rest of your life. Not something where you're going to go to the NBA today, but just something kind of fun. Would you take the ability to make 95% of your free throws, 75% of your shots from three-point land, or the ability to barely dunk it? Like two hands, you can just kind of barely get it, but you can dunk.
Well, it wasn't very long ago that I could do that anyway, and that didn't win me any points at all with anybody. So I'd say that it's all three-point shooting now, baby. 75% if I'm some old white guy that out there that can still shoot like that. Oh, yeah, you could play.
No, see, this is because Andy's 6'4 and I'm 5'10. The answer for me is absolutely barely dunk with two hands. Say I go to the downtown Y today. I go in there in my suit. Got the suit and tie on. Balding guy in his 50s, 5'10. I just walk into the gym, stand back, wait till I have everybody's attention, go up there and dunk, and then walk out. They don't have to focus on me for any length of time. I dropped the mic. I dropped the ball and left.
All right. Pulls up on Twitter at Murph_Andy. Who won throwdowns? Was it Murph or was it Andy? And yeah, as guys who could never dunk, I think that's the most intriguing.
It all depends on
yeah,
how tall you are there, I think.
It is kind of cool, though, to see an old man just knocking him down from the free throw line. Like, yeah, you make 9.5 of 10, like 95 out of 100. Just see an old guy just make 25 in a row.
There's a great scene in Blue Chips where Bob Cousy, who was then in his 60s, late 60s, and it's unedited. He makes like, I don't know, he's talking to Nick Nolte and he makes about 10 or 15 free throws in a row. And it's just like that, you know, just watching. But you have to pay, that's a lot of attention to pay to somebody these days. No one has the focus. From Bovada Odds today, as we go to the NBA, the Warriors are the favorite to win the championship. They're actually 5-8. Cavaliers are second. Celtics third. Thunder fourth. Spurs fifth. Rocket 6, check this out, the Timberwolves. The NBA club of your Iowa Wolves are the next pick. They're that high.
It would be great to see them get good.
Yeah, that would
be good for us.
Be good for us, that's exactly right. And Trending Iowa is coming up as we start hour number 2 on this iHeartRadio station, 1460 KXNO.